You are listening to an ADIS podcast.
Hello, my name is Sico Bus. I'm a professor of clinical biomechanics working at the Amsterdam University Medical Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. And I'm the chair of the International Working Group on the Diabetic Foot, a working group on ulcer prevention.
And hello, my name is Jaap van Etten. I'm senior researcher at Amsterdam UMC, and I'm the secretary of the Prevention Working Group. And in this podcast, we'd like to discuss the new IWGDF 2023 update on the prevention of foot ulcers. And before we go there, Sico, can I ask you, why do we need to prevent foot ulcers?
Well, we need to prevent foot ulcers because the lifetime incidence of foot ulcers is between about 20 to 35%. And the yearly incidence rates are about 2% in the entire population of people with diabetes. So this means that globally, around 18 million foot ulcers occur every year. And what is especially worrying are the recurrence rates that are still around 40% within the first year of healing. So as each ulcer increases, the risk of infection, amputation, and hospitalization. And treating an ulcer episode costs around 10,000 euro. We need to prevent them.
But do we have enough focus on ulcer prevention? Because if I look at the literature, there's a huge disparity between a focus on ulcer healing, for which numerous RCTs are published each year, maybe even each month, and multidisciplinary clinics focusing on ulcer healing can be found everywhere. But if I look at ulcer prevention, there are hardly any new RCTs. If I look at the new guidelines, we almost included no new RCTs to base our recommendations on, and multidisciplinary treatment offering integrated care are very rare. How do we close this gap between ulcer treatment and the focus on ulcer prevention?
Well, this is quite hard. Prevention always involves what we call the prevention paradox. People having to do something in order not to achieve a particular outcome. And we don't have a definitive answer to solve this paradox or to close this gap. But with the IWGDF guidelines, we at least try to make sure prevention is adequately covered in guidelines. And this is not the case in every guideline development institute. So how can we ever close the gap between healing and prevention when clinicians don't get guidelines with recommendations? The first step in closing this gap is reading the IWGDF guidelines.
I fully agree. If there's anything that listeners to the podcast will take home, is go out there and read the prevention guidelines.
Okay. So when a listener does so, read the guidelines, what will they encounter?
Well, the first cornerstone that you read in the ulcer prevention guidelines is that you need to determine the risk for ulceration. And for that, you need to screen for the presence of risk factors. And on the one hand, this is the part where we actually have quite an extensive evidence base in the field of ulcer prevention. There are multiple large observational studies investigating various risk factors. And from these studies, we know loss of protective sensation, peripheral artery disease, and previous foot ulcers are all key risk factors. But on the other hand, the reasons that we probably have so many studies on this is that it's relatively easy to do an observational study, much easier than an intervention study. And yes, we know that these are risk factors, but we do not have any evidence that screening for these risk factors is an effective intervention. And this again underlines a key point in ulcer prevention. Almost no one is investigating any of the interventions. And as a result, we have limited knowledge to tell us if what we're doing is actually really effective.
Okay, well, despite the unknowns, the guidelines clearly recommend annual screening. Foot screening should be as standard as eye screening. And while this has been advocated for at least a decade, it still is an area where improvements can be made. The biggest debate here lies in the screening of those at risk, so those with loss of protective sensation. Current recommendations are rather general, such as recommending screening every 1 to 3 months for anyone who has ever had a foot ulcer. However, a person with a recently healed ulcer should probably be seen more frequently, while someone who has been ulcer-free for a decade could likely do with annual screening. To have this debate, we need more data and more studies.
Yes, and I completely agree, because there's so much we don't know in ulcer prevention, and at the same time, there's quite a lot that we can already recommend. So for that, let's focus on this last group, these people at high risk that you were saying, those with loss of protective sensation and a foot ulcer in their history. What do we need to do, and what do you describe in the guideline that's needed for this group of people to prevent new foot ulcers?
Well, the key here lies in the integrated care, where appropriate footwear, treatment of pre-ulcers, and education are provided in an integrated manner. Patient's behavior plays a central role here in wearing the appropriate footwear and in self-checking for pre-signs of ulceration. Therefore, education to coach people perform this behavior is very critical. And while we cannot do without education, there's also no evidence yet that tells us how to do that exactly.
And education focuses on behavior, but it's actually also an intervention that takes much of the behavior out of the equation, which is surgery. If you operate on a foot, it doesn't matter what the person is doing. But we do make recommendations on foot surgery. But then again, operating in an intact but fragile foot requires caution and careful consideration. What we have now in the new guidelines is clear recommendations on flexure tenotomy, where we have an RCT. But for any other surgical intervention in the intact foot, we need much better studies and data before we can truly recommend that as a part of integrated foot care.
Well, that's definitely true, but very promising interventions that we do list in the guidelines. So let's end where we started this podcast. Multidisciplinary treatment for ulcer healing is now usual care. But integrated care where footwear, pre-ulcerative treatment, including the surgery, and education is offered by one team is exceptionally rare. Let's hope that listeners to this podcast will feel empowered to take on that challenge and start organizing more integrated care ulcer remission clinics.
I fully agree with that, and I would be very happy if that would be the result of this podcast. And it was very great to discuss this all with you today.
Yes, I fully agree. Thank you, Jaap.
And thank you, Sikko, and thank you, listeners.
You are listening to an ADIS podcast. You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Podcast with your preferred podcast provider, or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements, please read the article on the journal website.